Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Hey, this is Che Diaz wishing Rory Upton a very happy birthday.
I'm sorry, what's happening?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I'm here to recap, and just like that, Hannah Brown is back with me on the podcast to talk about episode 5 and 6 of HBO's And Just Like That. Hannah, how are you?
Oh my God, Dan, thank you so much. Hey, Dan, it's me, Hannah Brown. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be back to discuss these episodes. And I'm just going to say at the top, I am, dare I say, enjoying this show now.
I love that you're enjoying it.
Is that
now
the sound you just played?
Yeah, I just played it. I think finally I am maybe feeling what some other people have said, that it's getting much better.
Yeah.
But I still have plenty of critiques. And I did feel after our last recording, I was like, every week after we record it, I'm like, were we too hard on it?
Yeah, we were being negative Nellies.
Negative Nancys. But yeah, also, it's crazy. And seeing Che Diaz in bed doing cameos is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my whole life.
It is. Sorry, I'm just adjusting.
And what was that voice?
It was terrifying. It was shocking. It was giving like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, like, hey, it's Che Diaz.
And why are you doing it in bed? Miranda's like, what the fuck are you doing? And then Che was just like, well, I got to do these. It's like, go to the other room then. What are you doing them in bed?
Yeah.
And could you imagine getting that cameo? What did she say? It was like a 5-second cameo. Like, if you're paying Che Diaz to do a cameo for, I want it to be at least a minute.
I know. It was like, hey, it's Che Diaz. Hey, buddy, happy birthday. Heard you turn another year older. Yeah. And that was it.
Hey, this is Che Diaz wishing Rory Upton a very happy birthday.
I'm sorry, what's happening?
She just wished Rory Upton a happy birthday. And then
Rory Upton.
Rory Upton. Hey, happy birthday. I loved it. Hannah, since we last talked, how have you been? Just
before
we get into these episodes, because we're going to be doing 5 and 6, covered Halloween season and then winter, inexplicably jumping around the timeline. But how's your personal life?
You know, I get seasonal depression in the summer, so like it's been fine. And these episodes were actually a great escape because, you know, I've been sending you fall TikToks, winter TikToks. Mentally, I'm kind of over the summer. Also, I live in the Valley and it's blazing hot.
Right.
I'm okay. How are you?
You know, the whole industry's on strike. An old friend died unexpectedly. I had a colonoscopy on Tuesday. You do the math. It's not been a great week.
Hashtag pray for D.
It's not been the best week or two.
Oh, wait. But did the Bethany Jill episode of Just Be, Bobby, did that lift your spirits or only bring them down further?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
And
for
that's
listeners,
fair.
If you haven't listened to Bethany, did a podcast with Jill Zarin from The Real Houses in New York, and it's chaotic. And I was texting you the entire time I was listening to it. Like, I was just screen recording and I was like, I have to send this to somebody. Like, I need to like voice my thoughts because, wait, Hannah, I sent you the clip, the end of that podcast.
Yes.
And I know that's not what we're here to talk about today, but the end of that interview that
it's
they
crazy
did together is like the craziest thing. It's just as crazy as Che Diaz doing cameos in bed, because they end the podcast interview just naming people who have passed.
And Cookie.
They're like Cookie and
Ginger.
And Ginger and Bobby. And then at the very end, this is the craziest thing. At the very end, Jill adds, and Dennis, and or Bethany says, and Dennis, and then Jill's like, who's still with us, and then ends, and it's, but she says it in a way, it's like so weird how it just trails off.
Oh yeah, doesn't she say like, he's here with us?
And then I'm like, why didn't they edit an ending or just, I don't know.
It fades into oblivion. It was crazy. You know, Bethany, ever the podcasting professional who does no research on her guests and can't be bothered to do an outro, and she's, you know, but she's the best to ever do it. And she will tell you that first.
Let's talk, not to change the subject.
No, but please do.
Let's talk about this in just like that timeline, which I mentioned a little bit, because episode 5 was this Halloween themey. Miranda was cutting a pumpkin at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. In the breakfast nook.
That sounds fun.
But like, I know. I love, and I'm happy they covered holidays, because I've been wanting them to do holidays mm-hmm. a little bit. So at least it's like, they're not exactly covering it, but it's like holiday adjacent. Like we're seeing a pumpkin.
Yes.
However, the way that we're jumping around, it's like the Met Gala, that was like, I guess, May-ish, right?
Right.
And then we're at Halloween. And then this week we're in like dead of winter. There's a snowpocalypse.
But they're planning for the Hamptons already. For summer. I'm like how many episodes do we have to wait until we get to see that house?
And I remember this being an issue last season where I'm like, when are we? Like every episode, I'm like, when are we?
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving us these visual cues, but then some of it just doesn't, it seems crazy that we're jumping so much.
Right.
Right?
Right. It's like in episode 5, we have Carrie like walking through like a beautiful autumnal New York, almost murdering that hot guy on the bike because she won't get out of the fucking bike lane. And then all of a sudden we're in a blizzard and Carrie's in this like big, like Lizzie McGuire igloo dress type jacket, which I loved, by the way. Like sorry to jump to episode 6, but I just think the shots of the women walking through the blizzards were like 5 seconds too long. Like they,
oh, interesting.
Did you like them?
No. But I think I feel in general that the episodes are 5 minutes
too long.
50 minutes too long. 50 minutes too long. I think all the episodes are run a little too long,
mm-hmm.
especially with some of these storylines, which we'll get to, like the episode 6 of it all. But for like some of the storylines I think get shortchanged, like the LTW stuff. We have so many characters that then when right. we have like a really grounded moment, it doesn't land for me when it's in between like Charlotte trying to get a condom in the snow.
Right. Right. Cause then we had that sweet scene where LTW is like speaking about her movie and like Herbert comes in the back and it really like moves her and it's like a very sweet moment. And then we cut back to Charlotte being like, okay, Lily, now don't use the warm condoms cause you do get rashes easily. And I was like, whoa.
Also, we're jumping around. We are jumping. So much,
sorry.
I don't care. That's who we are. but the Charlotte going in the snow to get the condom was so strange to me. I mean, you mentioned the filmmaker thing with LTW, and I thought if we're in a snowpocalypse, they explained why Carrie's widow event was still going on because everybody was staying at the Sheraton.
Mm-hmm.
But then with LTWs, I was like, would people really have showed up to this screening thing yeah. in this blizzard? Because Charlotte's kids couldn't even go get the condom in the blizzard.
Right.
And Lily, who's probably, I think, the worst character on it and on this whole universe. I think
worse than Che Diaz. Yeah.
The worst. And when she called Charlotte and was like, oh, we're going to fuck for the first time, but he don't have a condom. And Charlotte's like, well, why don't you go get one? And she's like, well, the boy who can't go to the corner store because he's going to recognize and tell the parents. But I was like, why don't Lily go then? Like, why is Charlotte going?
Right. And, you know, I talked about this with my bestie, Clayton. She brought up, she was like,
Clayton's
what about,
here, by the way, shout out to Clayton.
Shout out to Clayton. She is here
for a live recording.
We were watching
the magic, Clayton.
We were watching it together. And she was like, what about like Postmates or like Instacart? Like, there are other people who would be able to get them condoms. Like, it didn't have to come down to this.
And it was so funny seeing Charlotte in the snow. And it's like, they're giving Charlotte really great comedic work to do. But like, it didn't make sense to me. Why is she the one going to get the condom? Like, it was funny when she got in the snow and was looking and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it didn't make any sense to me why Lily didn't just go to the corner. Because the corner mart guy wouldn't have recognized
her.
And then, yeah, it was weird.
Also, aren't they like at the kids' parents' house?
Yeah.
So like, what do the parents think they're doing like alone in a room? Like, you know what I mean?
I think they might have said the parents were out of
town. Oh, they were out of town. That's right. I missed that.
I don't know. Okay, back to episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
The pumpkin carving at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. was just crazy to me because of all people, Miranda, I know she's like trying to like make the home life kind of work a little bit.
She's trying to make it nice.
Or make it nice. But I just don't imagine Miranda carving a pumpkin at 6 a.m.
No, it's a very Charlotte activity, to be honest.
When's the earliest time of day you've ever carved a pumpkin?
Probably about like 1 p.m.
Matt and his mom's in town staying with us and mm-hmm. we love her, but they just went out and I asked them to get me a pumpkin for a photo thing. And so he's been texting me, he just texted me a bunch of pictures of pumpkins at Joann Fabrics because all the stores have them and I need it for a photo thing, but all the places have pumpkins out. So
I just want to go to Joann Fabrics and like peruse the pumpkins and the fall decor.
I know, nothing better. I know that it did make me, so you get seasonal depression in the summertime just
always.
Because of the heat and.
Yeah. And I think it's like, I'm sure I've said this before because it's sort of like the hill I'm dying on right now, but it's like, I think it's a season where it's like a very social season where it's a lot of like big groups of friends being like, we're out together all the time. We're on a boat. We got a house together. And like, I'm someone who has a lot of like independent friendships, but I've never really been someone to have like a crew or a group. And I also think it just becomes harder to maintain the older you get. So like, I do have this like sense of FOMO, even though I get very stressed out in big social situations. And I actually would rather not be in situations like that, but it looks fun in like a photo,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, you want to be invited, but not go.
Yes, literally.
I get that. So in episode 5, there's also this costume party. And so Miranda and Carrie are going to this costume party. Miranda just brought a clown nose. And Charlotte,
I mean, she has been acting like a clown the entire season.
That's true. Charlotte and Harry dressed as the Americans, which I thought was genuinely funny, like seeing Harry in that wig.
Yeah, I love just a goofy wig. I love wig work.
Wig work is really fun.
Yeah.
And of all people to see Harry in it. But
yeah.
When it came back at the end, I don't know if that I loved the wig.
That was uncalled for. He looked like a young like Robert Durst, like sneaking into Rock's photo shoot.
He did look. It also made him look so much older to me, which is weird.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I think bald people are really hot, and I just want to give a shout out to the bald community. Like, rock your baldness. I think it's sexy.
Wait, do you watch The Kardashians?
Yes.
Did you see the new one this week?
No, was someone bald?
It just came out. No, but it sort of felt like the first half, a very special episode where they were just getting together to talk about how beauty standards have changed, and Kylie was talking about she was so self-conscious about her big ears. And she was like talking about ears, but I love big ears. Like on men, especially, like I find like big Dumbo ears to be so hot.
So sexy.
And yeah, it was just funny to me though, because Kylie was acting as, you know, it was a tough thing for her to reveal that she was self-conscious about her ears.
Yes.
And it was wild.
That's like in the movie Head Over Heels, niche 90s favorite starring Monica Potter and Freddie Prinze Jr. When one of the model roommates is like, I had to get surgery on my ears because my ear lobes were uneven.
That was a good accent. That was Australian, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My ear lobes were uneven.
I always, whenever I try to hop into an Australian accent, I learned that this trick is to say water bottle, because they say like water bottle.
Oh, that's good.
It's like I can slip you in. Water bottle, give you a water bottle.
That's good. I have not practiced my cicada accent since the last time I came on here, but I'll continue to work on it.
Good. Yeah. You didn't work on it during the off time?
No, I have nothing but time. I should be working
on it. How fucking dare you? Okay. So at this Halloween costume party, did you love Anthony and Lisa Todd Wexley dancing to TLC's Creep?
I needed that. I needed it in a way I couldn't explain.
It was a release.
Yeah, it was a release. It was a cultural reset. What I didn't appreciate was that Herbert did not come in costume because, and you just on your podcast mentioned that you don't really like costume parties, and I'm sorry that I'm throwing one for my birthday.
Oh, yeah, we have one this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm super sorry about that. But I don't appreciate people who barely make an attempt. It doesn't have to be the best. Mm. Just like, try.
You're not going to like my outfit for your party then.
You know what? But now that I know how you feel, how you really feel, because you were polite enough not to tell me, I found out on your podcast.
No,
now
I've never been a costume party.
I know person. You're doing your best. Also, it's blazing hot, as we mentioned. So like, it was kind of bold of me.
I have a funny, well, we could talk about this off air, but I have something for your.
Oh my God, I'm excited. Party.
It'll be fun. But wait, so you don't like if it's like half-assed?
For a big Halloween party where like, I think what bothers me is that LTW was fully decked as the Bride of Frankenstein. Like she looked beautiful and like amazing. And she literally like did the legwork of like getting Herbert a costume. And he was just like, I'm not going to wear that. Like to me, that's rude.
Yeah.
You know?
I felt bad for Anthony, the actor too, who had to like do that scene in costume. And then I don't even know if they gave him any lines or I think he might have snappily said like, I'm out, like after the dance scene, but I don't know if he had anything else to do the whole episode.
Didn't he hit, I'm like a hot gladiator, and then the gladiator's like, I'm straight, and he was like, okay.
Right, and I did write that down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he saw that straight guy who he hooked up with in the steam room.
Yes.
And I gotta tell you something, this happens a lot. I don't know if the ladies realize like how much the straight husbands and stuff, like when I was in my 20s, there was this married man in Vegas at the spa at like a big hotel, and he was like very aggressive, like coming on to me in the steam room. And then I ran into him and his wife in the casino afterwards. And I just think that happens all the time. But it was funny that Anthony said that. And then the wife like came over.
Oh my God. I talk about this all the time. I think that it's unspoken, but I'm like, I know that this shit is going on.
It happens like, I think
be
way
fucking
more.
For real.
And I think most of the time, And I know I just publicly said it on a podcast, but I think most of the time, like, the gay men will, you know, keep a lid on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just want ladies.
Ladies, am I right?
Ladies, am I right? It happens. It happens. But yeah, he did hook up with this guy in a steam room. But then was there anything left with that storyline, or just sort of ended?
No, it was literally just a moment where, like, Anthony once again was left in the lurch. I'm like, justice for Anthony.
They need to give him something to do.
Yes, he gets uninvited from the fucking Met Gala. He gets turned down by this straight guy.
Yeah, like, give him a fun storyline.
Yeah.
Give him something to do. Give him something. You know, I do like how they're mixing and matching all of these people. So we saw, like, Seema and Naya hanging out. Mm-hmm. And, like, I thought that was fun. Miranda was, like, a little jealous of, like, their single stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked that. There is speaking of Miranda, there is this whole thing going on because Che Diaz, the ABC pilot, mm-hmm. now we're sort of, like, waiting for Che Diaz to get the results of this pilot and whether or not ABC is picking it up. And Che is sort of spiraling this whole episode. So we see Che have all these people over at 3:30 in the morning playing video games while Miranda's trying to sleep.
It's not hot.
No.
It's like real. It's like, don't act like you're in college. Like,
don't you feel like this kind of goes back to what we were talking about maybe last time of, like, how old is Che supposed to be?
How old is Che?
Because I don't imagine a 46, 47 year old having all those people over to play video games. Is that like me being
like bad? A curmudgeon?
Like, am I just being ageist or something? Like, I feel like it's crazy.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And in the next episode, when Carrie was talking to Carrie, aka Karen, aka Rachel Dratch, about how she's like, oh, I was drunk a lot of the 90s, but I don't really get drunk anymore. I was like, to me, that, like, is more realistic, because, like, I'm in my early 30s, mm-hmm. and the feeling of, like, being drunk and out of control is, like, already less fun. So I can't imagine at the age of, like, and again, like, everyone do you. I'm not trying to, like, attack anybody, but yeah, I'm with you where I'm like, I like to go to bed at a normal hour. Like, I'm not going to be up until 4 a.m. entertaining people and, like, smoking weed
yeah.
and, like, eating pirate's booty.
I just think they're writing Che as 23
yeah,
or something.
As a college student.
I mean, God bless. But it just, none of that made sense to me.
No.
And Miranda was trying to sleep too, because I thought, I would have been pissed if I was Miranda. Not only is she being kept up at night by them fucking cameos, hey, it's tedious, but she's also being kept up by these people playing video games, no less.
I know. Also, I was like, oh, so Miranda's, like, back at Columbia now, and she very much cares about this program that she's in. And now it's like, she's like, oh my God, I gotta get up early to, like, tend to Brady and then, like, go to school.
Carve pumpkins.
But I'm like, how, maybe this is, like, a seasonal thing. Maybe it was summertime, but I'm like, how did Miranda just leave Columbia for, like, months to just go fuck Che Diaz and, like, in LA and, like, lose her phone in a pile of seaweed?
Okay, wait, go back for a second.
Sorry.
So you were saying, what if this is summer?
No, I'm saying, like, maybe I'm, like, explaining this I'm figuring it out as I'm talking. I think when she was in LA, perhaps it was summer, and that's why she was able to not be at Columbia for all that time. But I do have questions about, like, why she was able to just leave the program, and now she's, like, all in with the program.
I do sort of wish we would just stick to one season.
Right?
Per season. You know, like, I would love us to just be in winter,
mm-hmm.
like, for the whole season. Ugh. Or pick a time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of feel like we're just jumping around.
Yeah. And it's kind of hard to follow.
It's very hard. I mean, and I'm like literally taking notes and having a hard time following. Like,
mm-hmm.
is my mom going to be able to watch this show? Unclear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Charlotte's kids. I mentioned I hate Lily, but Rock is now, I really think Lily's like the worst and always has been.
She ruined Carrie's wedding. She's a menace.
Yeah.
One time asshole. I said that on Instagram when people literally dragged me in the comments. They were like, wow, coming after a child. They're really, you're a fucked up person. I was like, she stole Carrie's phone and put it in a little cupcake purse and she ruined the wedding.
No matter what you said, people, everyone gets mad.
They're like, coming after a little girl. Really nice. Really nice.
Wait, I just recapped the Real Housewives of New York premiere and I just didn't like love it. I thought it was fine. And yeah. I thought it was like pretty nice about it. And I still try to focus on the things that I like, but people, and I even said on the episode, I was like, don't yell at me in the DMs because I got this like impassioned, not in the DM actually, but an impassioned email like, how dare they? And they said, the thing that they pointed out was like that I didn't talk enough about Aaron, who's one of the
people. Fucking for real.
And so they were like, it was a very dramatic, like, how dare you not like this show and you didn't spend enough time talking about Aaron.
Oh, like, my God. What?
Like, it was the first episode. Like, I don't know.
Enough.
And what are we supposed to be jumping over the fucking moon because of one episode?
Yeah, no.
No.
It's exposition.
Let's see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. It's one episode.
Yeah. And you and your guest talked about this, like how if you watch the first episode of Roni ever, like in season one, it's slow and it's bad and it takes a little bit to invest in the women.
To be bad.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Anyway, so Rock is doing a Ralph Lauren campaign. Are you a Ralph Lauren fan?
I love.
Yeah.
And
it's classic.
There's a great documentary about him on HBO Max, that I really recommend.
Would you fuck Ralph Lauren?
Yes.
Okay. Like still.
I know we talk about like fucking older people and like thinking about the logistics of it, but like just to have a man that stylish inside me, like I would hope that like he would pass some of his stylishness on to me by way of fucking.
Speaking of stylish people inside of you, Seema met this gentleman who was a flaccid gentleman, but he had some machine that helped him out.
A penis pump.
And I loved this man from 90210. Did you watch 90210 like the original? Okay, so he played at the end seasons of 90210, like season 8, 9, 10. He was like towards the end, like when they had all these new people in. But I remember he was one of the first men I was attracted to. He was like so hot. So then seeing him, this was like a real mind fuck for me because he has aged beautifully, but he's much older. Like I remember him, he sort of like had that kind of twinkie look to him when he was back in the day in 90210. And that was like 20, 30 years ago.
Now he's like a husky man.
And now he's like a husky older gentleman. And I was still very attracted to him.
Yeah.
But he played Seema's love interest. And all I could think about was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing this man naked. Because little Danny watching 90210 would have been just over the moon.
Over the moon. Thrilled.
Now watching him pump up his dick because he can't get it up. Which would be very frustrating.
He really annoyed me, like that he came for Seema, like using a vibrator. He was like, not cool. I was like, your ego is embarrassing me. Or like your giant ego and lack of erection is annoying me.
Yeah. Like what the fuck? And also it was, I don't know. It was loud.
I love that she vibrated anyway. Like he walked out and he was like, seriously? And she's like, I'm still going to get myself off.
This might be a stupid question because I'm a big gay, but do women do that? Do women like get a vibrator out if they don't? Yeah.
Oh,
Clayton's
people,
nodding her head.
She's people bring vibrators into the bedroom.
I just called you out, Clayton.
all the time.
Like, Clayton fucks herself with that vibrator all the time. No, sorry. Just
no,
met her.
Truly, like vibrator play is like a big part of it, and okay, it's like, so it's and also like a confident guy will think it's like hot to watch a woman like get herself off with a vibrator. Like right. It turns them on to see you turned on. You know.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't think we're gonna see that guy again. But I was sort of hoping. I love when she picked him up, though. This was also one of my favorite things, and I texted you this, but when they were at the bar, so it was Seema, Carrie, and Naya were at the bar, right? And Seema's flirting with that guy, the 90210 guy, and Carrie looks at Naya, and she's like, Mama done hooked her a fish. It's like the craziest thing. And then Naya's like looking across the way, and Carrie goes, am I in an aquarium or a bar? She says something like that. But the way she just sort of like leaned over to Naya and she's like, Mama done hooked her a fish.
She's giving ladies, am I right? And then Naya fucks that hot guy and has like a walk of shame the next day. And she's like, herself.
I want Naya to get fucked by
me
hot
too.
Guys.
I want to see her fuck the hot guys. Like I want to know what's going on with her and her rebound men.
But this is a problem. We got so many characters. And it's like, well, I want to either follow her or follow one of these people because I feel like we're going surface level with all of them. And
right.
I need us to like go deep with Naya or Seema's flaccid man or... Mama done.
Well, and then Carrie hooked herself a fish with that guy who she pissed off, who she stood in the bike lane and he injured himself.
Right. She took him to the Olsen twin urgent care.
Yes.
That was crazy.
He's very hot. He was younger. He's so hot.
I know. And he was also in the original Sex and the City. He was in an episode.
Oh my God. As like a different person?
I think he was like Charlotte's.
Wait, that's crazy.
Dated. Well, and it is funny. They've done it a couple times where they've had old people back. And I think they're all playing new men in it, but it is sort of a funny comment about like, after so long, you're just dating the same people. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like even in New York where there's a million people.
I also found it interesting how he literally like fucking hated her. He was like, you can't stand in a fucking bike lane. And then like within an hour, he was like, oh, Carrie, like, thank you so much for taking me to Olsen Twin Urgent Care. And then she shows up at his apartment and he's like, what a delightful surprise. And he's like so excited to see her.
She just fucking spends the whole day with him.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And he like by the end of the day, like loves her, even though she literally like is part of the reason why he like broke his hand.
Yeah.
And those are tiny bones.
They're tiny bones.
That'll take a while.
I was getting so mad at them at the urgent care because he kept answering his FaceTime calls. And I was like, stop answering FaceTime in public. No one should be on FaceTime in public.
That's so true.
In general.
His business partner is like, come on, guy. You got to take this seriously. The business is going under. Like he was in a genre of his own. He was giving full like Neil Simon or like All My Sons. Like the family business is going under.
And Carrie's just fucking sitting there.
Yeah. She's like, I think you are in a relationship.
Remember, Mama done hooked her a fish.
Mama done hooked herself a fish.
Hey, it's shady.
Jump scare. You have to warn me if you're going to do that.
He is what if I was ever doing casting as like for a hot older gentleman, I would cast that man in everything though, right?
Oh.
Like, he just to me like reads like sexy gentleman.
Yes.
Right?
He's dashing.
Did you see that Golden Bachelor they're doing?
Yes.
It's like ABC's doing a whole separate spinoff of The Bachelor with a hot older man.
What I don't appreciate though is they treated Claire's season of The Bachelorette like it was the Golden Bachelorette and she was like 35.
Yeah.
They were like, it's never too late to find love.
I'm
like,
our she's oldest like, bachelorette in history.
Yeah. They're like, she's like, old as fuck.
29.
Yeah. Literally. She's 28 and a half, gentlemen.
And even the Golden Bachelor, am I making this up? I think the poster he had, like, they just show a poster and it's from the back. So you just see this guy from the back, but I think he had a hearing aid in.
Yes.
Like, you really need to do that.
No, that's too much. And like, if he doesn't genuinely need it and they just were trying to use it to be like, he's old, and that's super fucked up.
He's going
to
be like 34 years old or something. Yeah. It's going to be depressing. Be
like, hi, my name's Jeff and I am 37, you know?
Our first Golden Bachelor. Yeah, I wish they would cast that man as the Golden Bachelor. Okay, so then we have to talk about these. Okay, Miranda and Che, I feel like every time we talk, we're focusing a lot on Miranda and Che, but there was a moment where Che said they didn't want curry lingus when Miranda was eating curry.
I don't think it was necessary.
Tough. That was tough. And every time they're in a scene together, do you feel like it's always one of them coming out of the bathroom or into the bedroom or something. And they're like, well, you just came. Like, they're always telling us that. And I'm like, I get it.
They're like, we fuck. You know?
Every single scene.
Also, you know, I've said multiple times that I don't like that Miranda was reduced to a bumbling fool on this show. And what I didn't need was, like, Miranda doing, like, Ben Stiller and Along Came Polly with his IBS, like that scene where he's like sweating and he's like, oh, this food, oh, like Miranda, like bitching about the spiciness of the curry, being like, it's very hot, it's very spicy. I was like, I've had enough. Like,
yeah, like Kristen Wiig and Bridesmaids, yes, the like Jordan sweating. Allman.
Yes, yeah. I was like, okay, Miranda, you are a fucking grown woman. You know if you like spicy food or not. Like, you know how to order curry. Like,
Miranda,
you're
is
a lawyer,
full blown Shannon Bedore now. Like,
yes,
they wrote her like Shannon Bedore from The Real Housewives of Orange County, and I love it, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
Even Miranda, when they were shopping for mattresses this episode, I was like, I don't think Miranda would have ever even like considered that mattress that she was looking at. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I'm overly sensitive about this because I'm constantly thinking bed bugs. Like, even when I'm shopping for furniture that's not a bed, I'm thinking like, where am I getting this from? Like, I wouldn't just go to the flea market for a mattress.
I know. And the fact that there are like college kids at this very moment, like pulling a couch off the street and just plopping it in their apartment, like it's nothing. I'm like, help.
Look out, kids.
Yeah. Look out.
Look out, kids. Okay. So the end of the episode, there was this focus group in that episode 5, and then we're going to get into 6 because I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the focus group though, for Che Pasa, was that the name of the pilot?
Yep.
And, somebody in the focus group, they are seemingly sort of commenting on the fact that audiences have largely rejected Che Diaz. And now it's almost like a meta moment to see this focus group. Shout out to Connor, who was the one who played the person who was like, it's an old
Che Diaz
friend of mine.
Sucks.
The one in the focus group. I love that.
Oh my God. I knew the elderly man who like used the wrong pronouns on Che Diaz, who was like, oh, sorry. I knew him from an old acting apprenticeship I did. Shout out to Jeremy.
Okay. So all of our acting peers are in this, in just like that.
Wow.
Scene.
It'd be Why nice if we were there. Yeah.
What the fuck, Hollywood. We could have been in there.
We could have been in that focus group.
We could have been in that fucking focus group.
Yeah.
God damn it. Anyway, it seems like it's the end of Che Pasa. Or Che Pasa, I want to say.
But Tony Danza was a hit. Non-binary.
Everybody fucking loved Tony Danza. Yeah. And nobody in that focus group commented about how he said non-binary.
And they should have.
I think some of them said, like, I loved that scene. I loved Tony Danza in that scene.
Yeah.
And they were like, but I hated Che Diaz.
Yeah, but fuck Che Diaz.
Yeah. Anyway, that was episode 5. I mean, really wild stuff. Okay, so you know how at the beginning of this podcast you said, oh, I'm loving it now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you mean that about episode 5?
I think episode 6 was really like the uptick for me.
Oh,
episode 5, I will say I thought that we were like closing the loop on the Che Diaz of it all, because like after the focus group, Miranda was like, you'll make a better show. And Che Diaz is like, no, you stupid bitch. Everyone hates me. And like my identity is like in the shitter now because everyone hates me. And I was like, oh, so cool. So like we're done with Che Diaz.
Nope.
And Che says, I need some space. And I was like, space, code for breakup. We're done. We're taking a break.
So you thought by episode 6, we'd be no Che.
I thought we would Che-less. Get fresh, single, Che-less Miranda, but nope.
Guess what happened at start of episode 6?
Hey, this is Che Diaz.
Hey, this is Che Diaz. Showed up on screen. Hannah, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back and really get into this. I also have problems with Carrie never seeing 27 dresses, which was a quick line that she said, but we'll spend at least 45 minutes on that. So let's take a break. Find me on social media. Get tickets to Everything Iconic Live at everythingiconic.com. And thank you to Acast. We'll be right back. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus, iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. And we're back. Okay, episode 6. Carrie, it starts off the episode with her doing a Zoom. Mm-hmm. Did you have any other final thoughts about episode 5? I didn't.
Not really.
You got it all out.
Yeah, because okay. I actually took notes this week, so I got it all out.
I did too, which is bright. Last week, we were just seat of our pants.
Yeah, someone was like, how did you not mention Victor Garber? And I was like, oh my God, you're right. How did we not mention Victor Garber? Like, I'm sorry about that.
You know, it is what it is. We do our best here. How dare you not talk about Aaron enough? Anyway. Okay. So Carrie, it starts off with her Zooming with this young gal who doesn't know who she is. She's interviewing her about a book. And then she's like, what's your book about? And Carrie's like, death. And then the laptop falls over. It is awkward to Zoom in general with people,
yeah.
But particularly with those kind of meetings where it's like, you don't know each other. And it's like, well, why are we all here?
Yeah. What are we really doing? Carrie's response to that influencer girly, which, wow, would have been a fun part for you or me to play. Reminded me of that infamous Shailene Woodley red carpet appearance where the interviewer thinks that Shailene Woodley is Jennifer Lawrence. And uh-huh. It's like an old interview. And she keeps bringing up the Hunger Games. She's like, I'm pretty hungry, aren't you? And Shailene's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, I'm hungry. And Shailene Woodley's like, well, you should probably eat something then. Like, that was Carrie being like, you haven't read my book? Oh, you know, God, nothing it. About it?
Not that this is the same thing, but did you ever see Demi Lovato's interview where they ask what their favorite dish is? And Demi Lovato yes. says a mug?
Yes. It's Miss Congeniality. It's April 25th or whatever, because it's not too hot, not too cold.
It's so good.
Yeah.
A mug. I think that's what.
Yeah.
I think it's a compliment.
I think a mug, probably.
One of the secrets that I want to let listeners know is that 9 times out of 10 when I'm interviewing someone here on Everything Iconic, I always do the research, but 9 times out of 10, if you hear me say like, oh, I can't wait to see that or something, mm-hmm. that usually means I saw it and didn't like it. Because you don't want to be rude, right?
Like, right.
But I do. I try to always do the research, whether it's like reading the book. Now, there are an occasional time where maybe you don't get it in time, or there could be
right.
a situation like that. But that 9 times out of 10, if I'm like, oh, I can't wait or something.
You're an industry professional. That's a good. That's a good hack. Yeah.
A good hack. I shouldn't have given that away, but here we go. okay. So yes. What do you have any? What do you taking away from episode 6, then we can kind of get into the nitty gritty. Do you have any specific thoughts? I'm seeing you looking at your notes.
I'm looking at my notes. I just want to say I miss seasons and I loved the snowy motif of this episode. LTW in bed with her family, like looking very glamorous, is my dream.
And I like that scene with LTW in the bed with the family and they see the Ralph Lauren ad.
Yeah, with Rock.
Did I say Ralph Lauren? Did I just say that?
I think it's Ralph Lauren, but some people say Ralph Lauren.
But she seemed so happy about Charlotte and Rock.
It was cute.
And I like that.
She was like, oh, we got to call her. Mm-hmm.
And Anthony was already over there at breakfast.
Yeah.
At Charlotte with Rock and Lily. I don't like, though, I really do love LTW. I'm turning a corner where I'm really liking LTW, but I don't like LTW's husband.
Herbert, he's kind of a stick in the mud. That's
what
I'm
saying.
I think, like, I like the way she acts with Herbert. Like, I like that she's, like, not afraid to, like, put her foot down and be like, I don't want your check. Like, I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to make this appearance at this thing. It matters to me. Like, she's very cool and independent, but he is kind of a stick in the mud to me.
I think I'm just not connecting with him in some way. Like, something, I don't know what it is. I wanted to like him, but then, I don't know, this episode, I was like, ugh.
I want them to, like, spar more, like, verbally, because I feel like that's the type of person LTW is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Carrie has to go get a new computer because she broke it. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually thought this was going to be how they brought Aiden into the fold, because you remember that Aiden bought Carrie the MacBook years ago, and this is how fucked up. You know how you, like, don't know time in your head?
Yeah.
Like, I actually looked this up, because in the episode from Motherboard Myself, I think was the name of the episode, that was when Aiden gets the new computer for Carrie. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I thought, oh, they're going to bring Aiden back because he's going to have to go meet her at the Apple store, or the computer is going to be under his name.
Oh.
So she's going to have to contact him. That's what I thought. And then I looked it up and that episode aired in 2001. And so I was like, oh, of course she doesn't have the same computer.
Right.
But at first I was like, oh, she probably has that same computer. But then it's like, nobody keeps a computer for 22 years.
I mean, Carrie would. Like, if anyone Carrie would, it would be Carrie. Right? Remember that cell phone in the first movie? Like, it was a flip phone.
Yeah, that's true. But wouldn't that have been a good way to bring him back?
Yes, it's really smart.
Yeah, you're right. But it would have been a 22-year-old computer. Although my best friend Jill, I feel like she always has an old computer. Mm-hmm. Like, she, for a while, had, like, the same computer from college.
Yeah, because it's scary to get a new one. You're like, I'm going to lose everything that's on this computer. I don't know how the cloud works. Like,
yeah. Carrie went with Seema, too, and Seema... It's like, I update all the time. And they were having this, like, technology talk.
That was weird and felt, like, out of place. She's like, oh, I already have a new phone. And she's like, oh, the new one? And she's like, no, the one that didn't come out yet. I was like, what? Is this a joke? Like, the way she delivered those lines and the way those lines were written, I was like, what is happening?
I know. Well, that's the other thing, too. I think sometimes it's hard to know when something's a joke.
Yeah, I can't
like
tell.
Like, that whole robbery scene, which I know we talked about.
Yes.
But it's like... I remember thinking, like, is this supposed to be a joke, or is this like, are they actually getting robbed, or who's this man?
My jewelry, it's gone.
My jewelry. And then also, it's like that character that lives with Carrie's house or apartment. I feel like she just sort of like comes and goes pretty willy nilly, right?
Yes.
Like at one episode, she'll be seemingly a main character.
She's spooning with Carrie and then she's gone.
And then we don't see her again.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that about?
I know.
I know we're being so critical. I do want to say that, like, I love the show. I just want to reiterate. I love watching it.
Yes. And like making fun of it is like, it's like a love language. Like,
yeah,
it's
like,
fun.
I love you. Like, because also we're so critical of like the writers and producers and editors and stuff like that. And I know they work their ass off.
Yeah.
They're working their fucking ass off to give us this. And we should be grateful that they are, because I don't love watching and talking about anything else on television as much as this unhinged chaos agent.
100%.
I think it is amazing. So shout out to them and thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to say that.
No, okay. I love that.
Cause, this was a scene. There was a scene of Miranda and Che Diaz, where I think Miranda came back in the room after being in the bathroom. It's like, you made me come again. And then...
Curiolingus.
Like, literally, one of them said, you made me come again. And then Che was like, can we just talk in the morning? And that's when Che does them, the cameos.
Hey, this is Che Diaz.
Hey, it's Che Diaz. But right before Che is doing those cameos, we get that sort of, you made me come again. Can we just talk in the morning? And then Miranda's like, okay, I'll go to sleep. And then... Che starts doing those cameos.
Yeah, and Miranda's like, okay, well, if you're going to be fucking doing cameos all night, like, I'm leaving. Like, this is annoying. And I appreciated that Miranda was like, you're saving all of your charm and your energy for, like, your followers and fans, and you're such a bummer in this relationship. And Shay's like, well, I'm sorry, I can't pull myself out of my depression fast enough for you. And Miranda's like, I'm just asking you to like go take a walk, like just try. And Shay's just like staying home, like eating snacks, smoking weed, and like clearly resents Miranda for being like, can you be proactive about like helping yourself?
Right. And also, bare minimum, just do your fucking cameos in the bathroom or something.
Literally.
Or like, literally any other room. It's not a one room apartment.
And like, you had all day to do them. Why are you doing them at like at 1 in the morning?
It's all insane.
It's crazy.
How much do you think Che Diaz charges?
I was going to ask you this question.
Okay.
I think too much. I think probably like $400.
No.
I think I could see Che Diaz being that self-important that they're like, yeah, people are going to pay me $400.
Wow.
What do you think? Like
$75? I was going to say like $23.
$23? $23,000?
$23. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not quite clear on the success of Che Diaz as a comedian, because Che got the pilot for ABC, mm-hmm. which leads me to believe it would be kind of a well-known comedian-ish.
Right.
Not a superstar, but like someone known enough that ABC is going to give him a
TV show. Like when Whitney Cummings had like a sitcom.
But then when Che showed up at that like Widow thing, no one know, like, or even in general in public, I don't feel like people know Che Diaz, right?
No.
So at the Widow thing, like there was that other comedian there who was.
Are they a real life comedian?
I don't know. I don't think
so. I hope not.
But then wouldn't somebody know Che Diaz at that event?
Right. Because it became like a comedy event.
So then, like, how much is Che charging for cameo?
$400. It's unclear.
Yeah. It's very unclear to me.
Sex and the City writers, let us know.
$75 sounds more
reasonable. Yeah.
But see, the other thing that's weird about cameo is that there's some people on there who you would think would be $1,000, and then they're $10. And then there's other people who should be $10, like Housewives or something, where you're like, why are they charging $600?
Yeah. Bethany is charging like $3,000 for a cameo. Yeah.
But the reason that is because somebody is spending $3,000 on that cameo.
Right.
So they set the price because they're like, well, at least somebody will pay for it.
Right.
Somebody's paying for it. So who out there, I ask you, is paying Che Diaz $200 to do a cameo? Somebody also sent Che a tit pic. And then Miranda's like, what's that? And Che's like, it's a tit pic. Like, what do you want? Like, she got mad at Miranda for questioning the tit pic. And I don't know. I just think somebody should be more respectful to Che Diaz.
Yeah.
And yeah. Sending the tit pic. Okay, so we talked a little bit about Rachel Dratch coming in as Carrie's friend, Carrie. Previously known as Karen, but changed the name to Karen, Carrie. And it's Rachel Dratch from SNL. And Carrie and her had worked together on writing something.
I loved this storyline. I thought it was very funny.
Okay.
I laughed a lot.
Did you? Okay. Tell me why.
Rachel Dratch, just everything Rachel Dratch does is hilarious to me. And I loved that she was like, oh, the movie we would have made together would have been so good, but you fucked it up. You didn't come to the meeting. And like, she won't let it go. And the rest of the episode, she's like, I'm shocked you're here. And you're on time. Like, that's so crazy. And like, you know, those people in your own life who just like do not let shit go and like will always bring it up. And you're just like, I don't really know what to tell you. Like, okay. And I just thought
years ago.
Yeah, I thought that dynamic was funny. And Carrie just being insufferable and pretentious about like, oh, I haven't seen 27 dresses.
Carrie didn't even remember her name, which that was weird.
It was rude.
Because I thought like if they did work together, and we saw a little bit of Rachel Dratch in the original series, but mm-hmm. like if they wrote something together, I just feel like Carrie would bare minimum remember her name, right?
I know. She's like, no, I was drunk.
In that office, she's like, oh, I was drunk a lot in the 90s. Like, don't remember. I was like, you would at least sort of remember the name, right?
Right. And if this woman's a legitimate enough writer that like you're in the same circle and that you were put together by your agent, like you would probably know her. Like you would know who she was because she's successful on a certain level.
And then Rachel Dratch's character sits down. I was like, were you so mad when you saw 27 dresses? And Carrie's like, oh, I've never seen it. I screamed at the TV. I was like, what the fuck, Carrie? Mm-hmm. How do you go this long and not see 27 Dresses?
It's the perfect film.
When did 27 Dresses came out? Probably like 2008-ish?
Yeah.
Around the time of the first movie, I think. I'm going to look this up. So what was going on in Carrie's life around the first movie?
Right.
That
she and Big were trying to get married.
Okay. Okay, so I guess Carrie was a little distracted.
And maybe she was triggered by wedding content.
Okay, I'm going to look up.
After Lily ruined the wedding.
So 27 Dresses came out in 2000. Oh, they were both 2008. Oh,
I
was right.
Wow.
So they were around the same time, the same things were happening. So Katherine Heigl was putting on them bridesmaids dresses mm-hmm. while Carrie was putting in that feather in her hair to get married to Big. So
yeah.
I guess she was distracted. So
okay, she had a lot going on.
Okay, so
but it's a good movie and she should watch it now.
Yeah, there's no excuse really for not watching it over time.
Yeah, no.
There's been enough time has passed.
It's a comfort movie. It's like a good movie to watch when you're sick or, you know, hungover.
I had a meeting recently to do to write 27 Dresses sequel, and it did not happen.
Are you fucking serious?
Pre-strike, it did not. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Spoiler alert, they did not like my take. Anyway.
Rude.
Then we see Che Diaz in the apartment eating the pirate booty, smoking weed, which I think we talked about. But this is when Carrie calls Che to go to the WidowCon.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go to WidowCon for somebody if they asked you?
Probably. I think I would. Would you?
Yeah, I actually think I would have too much fun at WidowCon.
Right.
Like, I think like I would have the most fun talking to those people.
Like grieving women of a certain age.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like it would be very both like emotional. I know that was the point of the whole thing was like, mm-hmm. Che saw all these widowed women and was like, oh, okay. Like I'm in perspective now, or they get perspective.
Right.
So yeah, I felt like I would have come out of that, like having just in tears, having all of these revelations about mm-hmm. life, like ready to be a widow myself, even though, you know, like Matt's still alive.
Yeah. God forbid.
But I like ready for that moment in my life. Like I would be thinking to myself like, okay, well, and as soon as he goes, I'm going to be amongst these people.
Right.
You know,
this would have been a good opportunity for a Carol Radziwill cameo.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Would've Carol cool. should have shown up to that widow thing. That right? would have been so smart.
If she was like, if she was the reader before Carrie, not that kooky author who was doing stand-up comedy, she was like, well, you know, I haven't had an orgasm in forever. And it's not because my husband died. I don't know what she said. She was making all these weird jokes about her dead husband, which look, I, as someone who like lost my mom, I use humor to cope all the time. I get love and light to people who use humor to cope. I just didn't think her jokes were funny.
Yeah, it wasn't about that. It was about like what, and they called her like the widow Don Rickles.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminded me of that first episode where Che Diaz made the joke about Ubering from their living room to their bedroom and everyone was like,
yeah, I know it was the same. Like the audience was like fucking losing it over that widow Don Rickles.
Losing it.
She's like, my husband died and thank God for that. And they're like, and then Carrie tries to do one fucking joke. They one joke about a vibrator and everybody's just silent, like, but that other woman, they were all just laughing like fucking hyenas.
And I thought Che actually like gave Carrie like a decent joke.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was for Che, it was pretty
for a
good
widow event. I think it was fine.
I think, and Clayton and I were talking about this too, like I think Che is more likable as Carrie's friend. Like I like totally. Their friendship 100%. More than seeing Che and Miranda together. I'm like, yeah. Give me more of that.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that's where they're gonna go, right?
I hope so, because I think Carrie like grounds Che, and Che being like self-aware and not like fucking annoying is like a really refreshing change of pace.
Steve reappears again. Miranda.
Miranda.
How are you feeling about the way they're handling Steve? They tried to make him mean this week.
Yeah, he was like, you don't even care about Brady.
You don't fucking like your son.
I'm like, that's a crazy thing to say.
That was a lot.
And then within 2 seconds, he's like, I didn't mean it. This is nuts. Don't cry on the subway, Miranda.
Don't go on the subway without me, Miranda.
Don't cry. Just please stay here. Yeah, I liked the reintroduction of Steve. Like, I want more Steve, but I think they went through, like, they gave us like 10 Steves in like a 2 minute scene.
And okay, not to keep going back to this, but timeline wise, if we have gone through all these seasons,
yeah,
would Steve be still emotionally in that spot? Like, would they still not be divorced? Would they still be so emotionally charged in a scene like that?
Right.
Maybe they would be, and I'm wrong. What do I know?
Maybe they would be because they haven't seen each other in a long time, or like haven't like talked really about anything. But I don't think that's season two and Just Like That Steve would be in the same place as season one and being like, oh, I'm never taking the ring off. I'm not getting divorced. Like this current iteration of Steve, who's like fucking the Whole Foods girl, I feel like would be like, yeah, you're right. Like, I'm over it. Let's just cut the shit and make this happen.
Yeah.
I understand not wanting to leave the house. Like when he was like, I built everything, like that actually kind of broke my heart. I thought it was really sad. But
she was like, I'm the only name on this mortgage.
Yeah. They were being kind of mean to each other. Yeah. But I also did understand, I kind of appreciated Miranda like growing some balls and being like, hey, like this is bullshit. Like, you've let me do your laundry for months. Like, you've been such a dick to me and you're fucking other people. So, like, get over it. Right. I liked seeing her, like, strength in that scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wanted them back together when they were, I always do, but when they were spooning, there was like a brief moment where it was like, oh my God, we're heading to a reconciliation. And then we weren't.
I know. It was kind of a bummer. And then like Che did dump Miranda.
Immediately
after, I was like, rough night for Miranda. Well,
yeah. Miranda's just spooning with everyone who's just kept dumping her.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, wait, the Aiden reintroduction. Okay, so it's revealed in a scene between Carrie, Miranda, Naya, and Charlotte, right? It was the four of them out, and they were talking about being friends with exes. And they say Aiden sold his furniture company to West Elm, which I do not care for them.
Everyone hates West Elm.
Nightmare on West Elm Street, look it up. okay, so he lives in Virginia now. And so Carrie writes this email to him. And I wrote this down, the whole email. So it's subject line, hey, stranger. Then in the body of the email, it says, hey, stranger, remember me? If this is your email, it's me, Carrie. Was just thinking of you the other day, and I wondered how you were doing. So, how are you doing? Hope to hear from you. if this is not you, whoever is reading this, carry on. And that's the end of the email.
I really wanted her to spell carry on like her name.
like the poster did for the first movie.
Yes.
Didn't it say that like carry on or
something? Or it was something like, oh, like he got carried away like that.
And then I think the second movie was like a play on that even more. It's let's keep calm and carry on again.
Something. Let's carry this group all the way to Abu Dhabi.
Let's carry on again.
Yeah.
Have you ever emailed an old ex?
Yes.
In a moment of weakness.
And very unhinged.
Tell me about it. I have an unhinged story too that I want to share.
It's really embarrassing.
Mine is really embarrassing too. But
I moved to LA and I found out an ex of mine was single. And I sent this like very emotionally supportive email. And I'm like, this was it's not my business. It's like, hey, here you're single now. And I just want you to know I'm here for you. I don't live in Chicago anymore. So it doesn't matter. It's like, ew. Like, I don't know why I did that. I was in a very low, weird place, but it was a freakish thing to do. And he did not respond.
Were you drinking or were you?
No, I was insane. I was mentally unwell.
And how old were you?
Too old to be doing that.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest.
Last week.
I was like 26 years old. Like it was not great. I think he thinks I'm a crazy person and I've earned that title. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we all have those moments. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I was in my 20s, like the first serious guy that I really dated, the serious dating, he and I used to, when I lived in Chicago, we would be on GChat all day long and emailing all day long. Do you remember that? Did you use GChat?
I didn't, but I have friends who like worked desk jobs and they did.
Yeah. I was just sitting at the desk, like emailing back and forth, and they were always just like, I don't know, dramatic or whatever. But then we had broken up. And around that time, there was this like thing, I think it was like for Gmail, or maybe it was it was through the work email, but it might have been called Boomerang or something, where you can schedule an email in the future to go in the future.
Oh my God.
So while we were together, I had scheduled an email to go out to him that was like crazy. Like it was like, I won't say his name. Hello. I'm writing this now because I just know we'll be together.
Oh my God. And did you forget you scheduled it?
Okay, wait. So I do not know when I scheduled it for. Okay?
I'm like sweating right now.
Do not know. But it was very intense and like very dramatic about like, I am thinking about you so much. I just love you. It's like dramatic. Then sent it, scheduled it to send. But I know it was like very far in the future. And this was probably like 2009-ish or 2010, maybe a little bit later than that. Mm-hmm. And then I got let go from this job and no longer had access to this email thing. And so I don't know. I can't stop it. I don't know when it could hit tomorrow or it could hit in 10 years from now. Like, I do not remember the year. I remember like very unhingedly thinking, let's send this very far in the future.
Oh, it's
so
a romantic
he might get
idea.
An email. My ex might get an email from that email address at some point And I, yeah.
I think this is what happens when you date a writer. Like, you, me, and Carrie, all writers.
Crazy.
You're going to get unhinged emails before or after, during, whenever you're actually in a relationship.
65 years old, you might get that email from me. Get we don't know email. When it's coming, but it's going to be embarrassing.
Yep.
And if that person's listening, please do not reach out after you get that email. Like, just pretend you never did, because, yeah. And I'm scared to even, I don't even know what it says, because I can't even check to see it. But I remember, like, losing the job, and I don't know, like, months later, I remembered that I did that.
And you, like, stopped dead in your tracks.
What am I supposed to do? There's nothing I could do.
That is.
And I don't talk to that ex anymore.
Okay, but that's kind of good, like, rom-com fodder.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
No. Mine is way more embarrassing.
Has that been a rom-com before? I feel like I've...
No.
Oh, no. You know what? I just watched that Love Again. Did you see that?
Who's in that?
Priyanka. I liked it. It was sweet. I liked it a lot, but... There's like this situation where somebody has somebody else's phone and then they fall in love that way.
Like a comedy kind of errors.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone's ever like sent an email 30 years in the future.
I don't know if anyone's ever sent an email to their ex that they had a very messy breakup with after they had yet another messy breakup with another girl years later and been like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Like, that's fucking wild.
Oh my God.
My past decisions.
What about text?
Like,
will you text an ex if you're drunk or something like that? I mean, Jake's not anymore, listening to this, right?
No. I mean, I think like when I was really single and my confidence was in the toilet around that era, I think I would have texted, yeah, anyone just to get a little hit of attention. But yeah. I've since gone to therapy and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't really drink much anymore, but I feel like in my 20s when I would be drinking, it'd be like, oh, yeah. Maybe I should reach out to that ex. And
yeah,
then,
it seems like a good idea.
And you always regret it the next day.
And you're feeling lonely. Also, I used to do this thing sometimes.
You're crying while watching Adele videos on YouTube, and suddenly you're texting an old
oopsies,
ex.
Oops. You know? And like, yeah, I think it always seems like a good idea. It's never a good idea, but like, I used to do this thing where I would just delete the messages, like, right after I sent it, so that I'm hiding from my future self. Yeah, I'm like, future self will never know.
Really
diabolical.
And then the next day you're like, I think I texted that person when I was drunk, but you can't check it.
And more often than not, they didn't reply to me, which, wow, like, they probably went to therapy way before I did, because they were like, I shouldn't respond to this drunk psychopath, and good on them. And so it's like, yeah, I really, they're didn't seem like a lot of repercussions, because the next morning I was like, well, I deleted the message. They didn't respond. It's fine.
I'm always very empathetic, even on like Instagram, if you get like a drunk DM from someone or something, like, and usually what'll happen, right? You get the text or the DM, and then 12 hours later you get one that says like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I was drunk.
Totally.
And I'm always so empathetic for it, because I'm like, oh my God, I've done that before.
Oh,
and
God.
Like, you're just in your head. You're making it even to a bigger thing than it is, right? Like, you're stressing, oh my God, they're going to see it. And then sometimes you go through the trouble of like doing the follow-up email or text where you're like, I'm so sorry I was drunk. And it's like, you shouldn't do that. Like, just ignore.
Just let it lie.
Let it lie. And the most of the time, more often than not, I think the person on the receiving end gets it and they've done it themselves.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, totally. Yeah.
Okay, so.
But when she sent that email to Aiden, it did give me full body chills. I'm so excited for him to come back.
Me too.
I need that eye candy.
I know. Seeing Aiden and I don't know, just like getting back to the Aiden of it all feels, it feels in a good place for this show.
Yeah, and they've always been teasing it, like even in the second movie. So it's like, now that Big's out of the way, let's bring Aiden back.
What did you think of Charlotte and Harry watching Edward Scissorhands?
I was surprised.
It did not compute to me.
No, I really was like, oh, they're going to be watching like, you know, Miracle on 34th Street. But then seeing Johnny Depp, you know, with them scissor hands shaving that ice sculpture.
It was as if I saw a ghost or something, because I just could not even understand them watching that.
I know.
Not that I don't even know why exactly. It just didn't, it wasn't computing.
It didn't feel on brand. It did, however, feel on brand for Rock. Like, I could see Rock being like a big Tim Burton head.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe Rock like picked the movie because they did say like, hey, like, dad's already had to pee 3 times. Like, I want to stop pausing it.
Wait, so you're saying Rock is like shopping at Hot Topic for Nightmare Before Christmas merch?
I think so. I think the Ralph Lauren modeling thing is
actually
a diversion.
You're spot on here, and I would encourage them to even go deeper into this.
Because lean in.
Seeing Rock go into a Spencer's Gifts to buy Tim Burton merch would feel right to me.
Riveting television.
I think you're right.
And they're trying to make Lily like all emo with like her purple streaks and like playing the sad piano like at Charlotte.
She's fucking playing that. instrument.
If Lily, who ruined Carrie's wedding, played a sad piano at me while I were trying to, like, while I was trying to have a conversation with her, I would lose my goddamn mind. I'd be like, fucking stop it.
And go get your own goddamn condom.
Charlotte was very patient with her.
I'm still mad about that.
Yeah.
Like, why is your mom going out in the snow? And I actually like the message behind, they did a lot of condom work because they had the Steve condom thing. And it's yes. like, great, they're promoting safe sex.
Yes.
Wonderful. And I even kind of like the, I don't know, are people going to be mad about Charlotte going to get the daughter a condom?
No, I think she was just like, okay, I'm accepting that this is a choice she's going to make, so she might as well be safe about it.
Yeah, right? I think that's how I would parent. I'm trying to think, like, how would I be? I don't know that I would get the condom as a parent.
I think I would be like, if you're adult enough to make this decision, you're adult enough to go get the condoms yourself.
Yeah, I would for sure be like, get your fucking ass to the nearest Duane Reade and get your own
in the snow. Like, but then I think she was afraid because she was like, okay, we'll just pull out. Like, it's fine. Bye. And so then she was like, oh shit, I better.
Lily's an asshole.
She's a menace.
Like, to just say that on the phone, oh, well, then we'll just pull out. Like, I guess I'll get pregnant. Bye. Like, fuck you, Lily. Don't be an asshole to your mother.
Charlotte was being very sweet.
I know. Charlotte's a good mom.
Yeah, she's a good mom.
Charlotte's a good mom.
Wait, sorry. Can I flag one moment with the condom work? When Charlotte called Carrie, like, in a fucking frantic state, being like, Carrie, like, do you have a condom? Like, I don't know. It was so Carrie how she responded, where she was like, why would you think I would have a condom? And why would you think I would be concerned about STDs? And then she's like, okay, well, just let it go. Click. And I'm like, you're a terrible friend. Like, that is the most selfish response. Your friend is in a state over her daughter having sex for the first time. And you made it all about you. And then you hung up the phone.
She makes everything about her.
She's like, just let it go. It's probably going to be fine. What?
Mama done hooked her fish. I will never get over that. It just didn't feel right. I don't know. Something about Carrie saying, Mama done hooked her a fish. Just like that. What? Also, when Carrie saw Che Diaz at the widow event, so Carrie had to convince Che to go in the mm-hmm. snow to this event to write one joke for stage. Mm-hmm. But when Carrie saw Che, Carrie said, you look like the guy we used to buy Christmas trees from.
It was true.
That's so mean.
It's really
so
mean.
Funny. So good.
Che's like, that's what I was going for.
So Che steps out of it. Let's see. Miranda and Steve, they have that moment, which we talked about. And then at the very end of the episode, Carrie emails Aiden. And the voiceover is, and just like that, some relationships are meant to stay in the past and some aren't. And then she closes the laptop. And so she's teasing Aiden.
I literally have chills just thinking about it. Because when she said some relationships are meant to stay in the past, there was a pause and Clayton and I were like, oh no, she's not going to send it. And then she goes, and some aren't. And when she sent it, I was like, oh, we are here.
What if we find out next week that it's like she used that same service I did. And so she actually just sent Aiden an email in like 2045.
Yeah.
And so he might not get it until... Mm-hmm. They might be teasing Aiden, and we never see him because she did it the same way I did.
Let's pray that she didn't. Let's pray.
Yeah.
I also wonder
Lord
how many...
Samantha Jones, hear our prayers.
Literally. Still can't get over Queen Kim Cattrall, Queen Icon Legend, being like, and by the way, August 20th, you can catch Samantha Jones on your TV screen.
Yeah, but watch all my other things first.
Yeah.
And then maybe watch my cameo.
And if you don't, forget. Watch my
game. I can only imagine the dialogue they're going to give Samantha Jones. Like, I cannot fucking wait.
I'm so excited.
I know it's just going to be one little scene of her on the phone, and it's going to be the quickest little thing. But, like, she's going to be serving, like, some sort of pun, some sort of joke, some sort of sexual
innuendo.
Something
about cock, yeah.
Like, there'll be, yeah.
She makes me feel, Kim Cattrall in general makes me feel very safe. Like, you know, we talked about how I just binge watched Glamorous.
Oh, yeah.
And also how I Met Your Father is a comfort show of mine. And
you told me that, and that was shocking to me. I almost kicked you out of my house.
I saw Hilary Duff in the Wild last night. It was a big fucking deal for me. I've looked up to her my entire life. When she does your show, like, I'm putting that into the universe. Like, I hope you tell her this. I did not go up to her, but it was really hard because I was like, where do I even begin? Like, Lizzie McGuire, Raise Your Voice. Do I bring up how I Met Your Father is my favorite show? Like, and yeah, you were like, jail, Hannah, straight to jail.
Yeah. You saying
I didn't
How
go
I
up
Met
to her,
Father
by the way,
is your favorite show is just shocking.
Like, who gives a fuck about the bear when there's How I Met Your Father?
Like, I just never heard anyone say those words before. It was like I was hearing words for the first time.
It's shocking because, like, I am not like a sitcom girly in general, but Jake will hear me like cackling and he's like, this is like crazy to me that you're like genuinely laughing at this
and
show.
She Kim Cattrall plays Hillary's mom.
She plays Hillary older.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But wait, doesn't Aiden John Corbett play Hillary's love interest in that show?
What?
Yeah, and see, he plays. Okay, so you're not even caught up. You say you call yourself a fan.
I'm still watching season two.
Got her. Caught. Lock her up.
Jail.
I caught you. You're on candid camera now, bitch. I got you. I swear, I could be making that up, though.
I really feel like...
No, I think John Corbett plays, like, her love interest.
That's crazy to me.
And he... Okay, yes, because the weird, craziest part is that he played Hilary Duff's dad in Raise Your Voice.
He played her teacher. Got him!
Oh, was he the teacher?
Got him!
Oh. Yeah. I'm caught. No, did... Wait, so... But
yeah,
oh,
he played her, like,
love,
cool
but
teacher.
But he was the love interest of her mom, right? Played by Heather Locklear, right?
That, no, that was Mr. Big. That was Chris Noth.
Got him.
Wait, Chris Noth was in Raise Your Voice?
No,
too?
In The Perfect Man. You're mixing up movies.
Oh, okay. Raise Your Voice is the one.
Casper Meets Wendy, such a good movie.
Wait, Raise Your Voice is the one, not to get us off track again.
No, let's do it.
But there's a scene where Hilary Duff stands up to sing and they like dub her. La, 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 it's not even her voice, right?
And she goes, you hear when it goes from Hillary to the other woman. She goes, yeah.
And it's the most insane run. And the whole, they're, it's the classroom. It's like as if they're at a Che Diaz comedy show because they're all just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And at the end she goes, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's like holding her like waistband like she always did as a teenager.
I just know that run that she does. It doesn't she do, it's like a lot of levels. It's like, and then everyone in the class is like, oh my fucking God.
They're like, yeah.
That is fucking Whitney Houston among
us. Yeah. And then that curly haired girl is like, because she's jealous.
So John Corbett's in that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then Mr. Big is in Perfect Man.
But he's still, so Hilary Duff's got a lot of ties to this universe.
Yeah. You know, it all comes back to And Just Like That.
Wow. You know, I met Hilary Duff when I was like 18, 19. One of my best friends from home, Mike Monaco, who's this great director now, but he lived out here. We grew up together and then he moved out here like in our teens, came to visit. And he had sort of like some Hollywood friends. Like I came and stayed and with him and he took me to this party and I had like one of my first male-on-male hookups that day with one of my friend's other friends.
Incredible.
But I wasn't out. And so I was like trying to hide it. And so I was so self-conscious about it. And so the night, some people that we were hanging out with like started to get skeptical. They were like, did you hook up with that guy? And I was like, no. But I was like, so I did. And I was like so nervous about it. So I got really drunk at this party and they had karaoke. And I had also, side note, like tripped and sprained my arm, but I refused to go to the doctor. So I had it like wrapped in this really like trashy wrap. So I'm drunk doing karaoke with a wrap, hand wrap on, and Hillary and Haley Duff were there. And I remember singing Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, which is a song that was from back in the day.
Yeah.
And I remember that they like had walked out while I was singing.
Oh my God.
So I actually feel good about making fun of Hilary Duff singing, even though I love her. I worship her.
Are you going to bring that up when she's on Everything Iconic someday?
100%. Yeah. She'll probably remember my singing.
Oh my God. She'll be like, oh my God, that was you. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Okay. Wait, anything else from the last episode or that you want to say about How I Met Your Father? Should we be watching How I Met Your Father? You don't even barely watch it.
No. You shut your goddamn mouth. Yes, you should. It's a very comforting show, and I recommend it before bedtime.
I swear John Corbett appeared as her love interest.
I will.
So you need to catch up on this show that you supposedly think is the best show ever. You know what? That's going to be what I tell Hilary Duff if she ever comes on this podcast. I'm going to say, my friend Anna lies about watching your show.
I want you to.
And I caught her live on the mic.
Name your favorite Hilary Duff movie right now.
Lizzie McGuire movie, for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, which I told you, Matt didn't know Lizzie McGuire. We got this thing in the mail, and it was like the cartoon version of Lizzie McGuire. And he's like, who's that? And I was like, what the fuck?
Jail.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies
head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hannah, thank you so much. Any other final thoughts on it just like that?
No, but I'm having fun now. I have to be honest.
No, me too.
I'm having a good time.
Even when I'm not having fun, I'm having the best time ever watching it.
Five stars, but also one star.
Yeah, like, and shout out to everyone giving us this. So I want to let everyone know that I'm sorry that we're mean, but we love you.
Love you so much.
And we're so grateful for your work. Literally. Anyone who's involved in this, literally anyone. And we stand with all the striking writers and actors and the fact that they're, you know, giving us this content. It's like they should be paid. Everyone should be paid.
Everyone.
But in particular, the people giving us, and just like that, like, I want them all to be fucking paid.
I know. Residuals because, up the wazoo.
Because if this ever ends, my sanity can't take, I need this show at this point. Like, I need it.
This show is keeping me going through my seasonal depression.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what we would be doing this summer without this show, because it's just so fun. Anyway, Hannah, tell everyone where they can find you and your podcast and all that.
Oh my gosh. Thanks so much, Danny. Y'all can follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter, Hannah A. Brown Zero on TikTok. I co-host a podcast with my friend Tyler Meredith called You Know You Love Us. It's a Gossip Girl recap podcast. And we're also covering Welcome to Crappy Lake on our Patreon. So lots of fun stuff going on over there. Check it out.
Luann and Sonia's new show. Are you loving it?
Loving.
Yeah. It's
having
so
much fun.
How do you feel about the new Roni?
I think it's fun. I had a good time watching it. I think people are expecting too much too soon. Yeah. And I am confident that, well, it will never be the old one. We all need to accept that, hold hands and accept that together. I do think it will be a fun summer watch, and I'm excited to see where the relationships go. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Clayton. Thank you so much for being here in our live audience, which is just you sitting on the chair and being forced to listen to us talk
love
about
it.
Che Diaz.
Best friend.
Love you all so much for listening. And did I do all my promo plug stuff, whatever. You could go to
buy tickets to the tour.
Yeah, I know, it's so annoying to do that, but I almost have this habit of saying it now, and I'm like, do I need to keep saying that shit every minute? Like, people are probably so annoyed with me saying that.
No, I think promotion is part of it. Anyway,
gotta sell the merch. Love you all. Bye
bye.